for the reading of the Word of God. Colossians in chapter 3 is where we're going to be, and I'm going to do my best to stay a little low-key this morning and guard and protect my voice as best as I can, but we'll have to see how that plays out. Colossians chapter 3, and beginning again in verse 9, the Bible tells us, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Father in heaven, we pray for a special blessing today. Lord, we ask you to please reach down and touch the hearts and lives of every soul that is present this morning. And those that are watching online, we ask, dear God, a special hedge of protection sat around them, Father. Lord, we do love you, and we thank you for who and what you are. We thank you for all that you have done, are doing, and will do. And Lord, we pray, Father, for the soon appearing of Christ in the air. We ask you, dear God, that you would please touch and tender the lives of your people. Lord, I pray that the gospel would go throughout our village and throughout our valley, dear Lord, to the saving of many. We ask you, Lord, during this time to please open people's hearts and minds to the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless us now together as we have come this morning in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. The verses that we are dealing with here are given as the responsibilities to believers. These verses are important. These verses teach us and tell us things that as believers that we are personally responsible for. What I want us to understand, guys, is that the Lord saves us. The Holy Spirit seals us. The Father in heaven secures us, but we, on the other hand, are responsible for strengthening us. We are responsible, just as we are responsible for feeding ourselves physical food so that our body may be stronger, that we are responsible for feeding ourselves intellectual food that our mind may be stronger. We're responsible for feeding ourselves the needed spiritual food and actions that we need to partake in that to make us stronger as believers, as Christians. So guys, I want to talk to you this morning. I want to speak to you on a topic this morning that the Lord has really, really dealt with my heart over the past several weeks. And it's that of gratitude. Gratitude. Now, guys, there's several benefits from being grateful. And there's no mistake that I'm preaching this message today. And I'm thankful that the Lord has allowed me to preach this message because there is a group of people that we need to be utterly grateful for. And I haven't forgotten. I was going to mention it after service. But I do want to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day today. And we are wonderfully and gratefully thankful for you. And I believe we need to exercise that gratitude. So it's no mistake that this message is being preached this morning on that. But there's several benefits of having gratitude in your life. There's a 2014 study that revealed by just saying thank you, showing what we call common appreciation, can help you win new friends. We find in a 2012 study revealed that gratitude improves physical health. It revealed that grateful people are also more likely to take care of their own health. Gratitude reduces the multitude of toxic emotions ranging from envy, resentment, to frustration and regret. According to a 2012 study by the University of Kentucky, gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression. Grateful people are more likely to behave in a pro-social manner, even when others behave less kind. 2011 study published by the Applied Psychology, Health and Well-being, said that writing a gratitude journal will improve your sleep. 2014 study published in the Journal of Applied Sports Psychology found that gratitude will increase an athlete's self-esteem. And finally, we find that gratitude increases mental strength. For years, research has shown not only that gratitude reduces stress, but they're also beginning to find that it plays a major role in overcoming trauma. In 2006, a study published by or published in the Behavioral Research and Therapy found that Vietnam veterans with higher levels of gratitude experienced lower rates of PTSD. In 2003, a study published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology found that gratitude was a major contributor to resilience following the terrorist attacks of the 11th September 2001. Recognizing all you have to be thankful for, even during the worst times of your life, fosters resilience in your mind. And these are just a few things that we could look at and evaluate this morning that incur in our life, which improve by exercising gratitude in our days. But let me ask you this. To what or whom are we to be grateful? I'm grateful this morning for my wife. I'm grateful for my children, my church, my friends, my family. I'm grateful for them. But ultimately this morning, as believers, we are given certain responsibilities, duties, I would call them, that despite our own opinions, that despite our own feelings, we must hold true to. So with all that said, there's some things that we need to do first before we can have true, pure gratitude as part of our life. And this is seen within the instructions that was given by the Holy Spirit of God to the man of God, the Apostle Paul, in the verses that we've just read. So I want to take a look at these today, briefly this morning, if you will, before we get into the section of being grateful. But I want you to see point number one, and they're not on the screen. We're not going off the screen today. Point number one, we are instructed to put off. To put off. Look in verse 9 with me, if you will. The Apostle Paul writes here, he says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds." Now, beloved, we're going to have to go back a few verses to find out exactly what his deeds are. If you look at verse 7, the Bible says, "In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your own mouth." Then he says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds." So if we're looking at putting things off, Paul says, put off also these things. But he also says that we used to walk in something in times past. You skip up a couple verses there, and again, we're not going to sit here and have a tick list of what everyone's done or what you've done or I've done or we're doing or whatever. But Paul is talking to born-again believers. He's talking to people that have gotten saved, and they have converted from what they used to be, and he's using that as a comparison. Verse 5 says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." And what are your members? Now, the word mortify comes from the Greek word nekreo, which means to make dead or put to death or to slay. Pretty harsh words, I'd say. But what are your members? He says it's fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God coming on the children of disobedience. But then he brings these words in. In the which he also walked. He's saying you used to walk in these things. You walked in your members. This was your life. This was who you were. You say, "Preacher, I've never committed half of those things, and I don't even understand what one of those words mean." Well, that's fine. You did them, and you walked in them, amen. And the Lord saved you from them. You see, we find here that he is saying that you walked in these things at one time. These are the things that the wrath of God is coming upon the children of disobedience, and in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. Past tense. Past tense, man. He says, but now, put off all these, anger, wrath. He says, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Then he says, lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds. You see, beloved, as a believer today, as a child of God, someone that has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit of God moved in you. When he moved in you, you did not overnight immediately become clean and perfect. You didn't stop having bad thoughts, or maybe stop using bad words, or stop even going to bad places. But you were given the ability to stop every single one of those things. When the Holy Spirit of God came inside of you, you were given the strength and the ability to put that old, wicked, vile man off and put him down like the dead dog he is. So one of the first things we have to do if we want to be grateful people is we're going to have to put off the old man. We got to stop pulling him out of a closet. I had a preacher friend of mine years ago preach a message around this thought, and he said, what we like to do is we would like to put off that old man and use his jacket as an illustration. And we like to fold it up and put it up underneath the car seat. And when we go down the road and somebody cuts us off, we start reaching for that old man and we want to put him back on. When we go down the road and we see something that's tantalizing, we want to reach back underneath that seat and pull it back out. Paul says, mortify, make dead, slay. Nakareo. Secondly, this morning, if you'll look in verse 10 with me, not only are we to put off, but beloved, we are to put something on. We are to put on. Look there in verse 10. The Bible tells us, and put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now Romans 13:14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. My friend, can I give you just a little bit of advice this morning? If you have an alcohol problem in your life, meaning if you drink alcohol or you're tempted to drink alcohol, you know probably the best place for you to stay away from? Places that sell alcohol. Well, preacher, how am I going to get my groceries? Have enough sense not go to the alcohol aisle. All right, there's 14 of them, I understand, in ASDA, but just stay away from those 14. Go to the other two that has food, amen? So I'm being a little facetious this morning. But if you're going to put off the old man, you're going to kill him, you're going to make him dead, the Lord doesn't want us walking around in a naked format. He wants us to put on the new man. And that new man is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is made after the one that created him. And you're going to put on Jesus Christ, but you're not going to make opportunities for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's if you want to be a grateful people. Verse 12 tells us, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved. He says, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. You ever read that verse and wonder what on earth that means? Bowels of mercy means pity or sympathy. Bowels is the inward affection, tender mercy toward other people. That's what we ought to have. We ought to pity people. We ought to have sympathy for those. Kindness, he says. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Kindness. I love the quote. I know it's a bit cliche and but I love it where it says, in a world where you can be anything, be kind. Kindness goes a long way. I think unkind people are insecure people. I think unkind people are people who are like a little dog, a little chihuahua nipping at your heels. They're being unkind because they want to try to make themselves feel bigger. And it does quite the opposite. He goes on to say, humbleness of mind. Galatians 6:3 says, for if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Humility. Humility goes a long way. Guys, never mistake humility from being weak Which the next word, meekness, he says. Never mistake meekness for weakness, I heard a man say one time. 1 Peter 3:4 says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God. Great price. Meekness is something that goes a long way. Humbleness of mind, kindness, bowels of mercy, long-suffering. It's the fourth fruit of the Spirit. It means to be patient, enduring with one another, having compassion on one another. Exercising that amount of love and long-suffering is what God did to us. God didn't look down to us and expect us to turn over a new leaf immediately. God didn't say, you know what, I'm tired of dealing with mankind, I'm just going to wipe them off the face of this planet. You know what he did? He was long-suffering toward us. Ephesians 4:2 says, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. 2 Peter 3:15 says, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. How do you do these things? How do you do these things in your life? Well, verse 13 gives us the answer. He says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ hath forgiven you, so also do ye. And verse 14 says, and above all these things, we're talking about putting something on. The Bible says, put on charity. Charity. That word charity comes from the Greek word agape or agapeo, which means, literally means, a sacrificial love. It's not an emotional love. It's not a physical love. It is a sacrificial love. And it is that love, my friend. It is that charity that is the bond of perfectness. You want to be complete? You want to be mature? Then bring that charity in your life to love one another in this world. That's the bond of perfectness. Paul tells the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16, he says, watch ye, stand fast in faith, quit ye like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. Why do you do what you do? Why did Preston and I preach? Well, preacher, you're called. I can assure you right now that there is no man on the face of this planet who's got sense that God gave a billy goat, called or not called, that's going to preach if he doesn't love people. You better love people if you stand in this pulpit. You better love the Word of God, and by all means, you better love God if you're going to preach the Word. So my friend, two things need to happen first. Two things need to happen first that if you're going to exercise gratitude in your life, you're going to become a grateful people. Number one, you're going to have to put off the old man. And number two, when you put the old man off, you're going to have to put the new man on. Amen. And it's until you do those things, point number three, then you can put forth in your life. Look down there in our verse, our final verse. In verse 15, he says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And be ye thankful. He opens that verse saying, and let. That word let means to allow, permit, to give way. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Now, how can we allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts today? How can we enable that? How can we give way? How can we just allow the peace of God to rule in all of our hearts this morning? I want you to think about it like this. You be thankful. My friend, if you'll exercise gratitude toward that which you have, that who you are, and what God has done for you, you're going to allow the peace of God to rule in your heart. My friend, gratitude is for life. Gratitude is an action. Gratitude is something that you perform. It's not just a mental thought. Imagine if you kept a journal every single night when you went to bed, and you wrote down three things that you're thankful for. Three things. After 1 week, guys, you'd have 21 things in that journal. After 30 days, you'd have 90 items listed. An average month. After 1 year, you'd have 1,095 things that you've listed in that journal that you're thankful for, that you're grateful for. Gratitude's an action. It's not just a thought. But it is a way of thinking. It's a livelihood. It's a process in your heart and mind. And it's not something that will happen overnight. The more we are grateful for, the less we will complain about. Just imagine with me tonight, today, having an attitude of gratitude in all that you do and all that you say. I have sat down with so many people over the years here in the United Kingdom. And elderly people that grew up in the churches in the mid-40s and 50s, and some of us, former World War II soldiers, and I've spoke to them. And they remember what the churches used to be like and what the valleys used to be like, and people queued up outside the street just to get into the house of God, hear the man of God preach, and to sing the hymns of God. And they say, it's a time gone past. They say, you know what, we sure miss the churches. I preached a message many, many, many years ago. And I've probably preached it out of a little bit of anger. I don't know. People were forsaking the house of God, and they were skipping here and skipping there. And I preached a message, what are you going to do when the preaching stops? What are you going to do when you show up to the front door of the church and the chain is locked? In America, we sit back and we laugh at that. Ha, that'll never happen. And yet across the country this morning, because of this virus, nearly every service is going to be online. Praise God for technology. Being grateful, guys, it's a thought, but it's more than a thought. Having an attitude of gratitude in all that you do and say. The power of gratitude, guys, is amazing. If you were grateful for your job, let me ask you a question. Would you hate it? I mean, would you complain about getting up in the morning, going to work? Not in the least bit. If you were grateful for your church, would people tear it down? Would you tear it down? No. Would you complain about going or things going on in the church? Not in the least bit. I mean, if you're grateful for your home, would you let it go? Would you complain about how it looks or where it is? No. If you're grateful for your car, would you highlight its faults? Would you complain about what it doesn't have compared to what the neighbors may have? No, not in the least bit. Those are just, guys, the list could go on and on and on. But at the end of the day, we need to be a grateful people. We need to exercise gratitude toward the Lord, toward God, toward our families, toward our church, toward our jobs, toward our community, toward our, and that can continue on. Because gratitude goes a long way. Paul says unto the church in Thessalonica, he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of Christ Jesus concerning you. You want to know what the will of God is in your life? Well beyond the call to preach or teach a Sunday school class or have some type of ministry. You know what the will of God is for your life? Give thanks. Have gratitude. Be a grateful people in all that you do and you say. And then you'll let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us today. We pray that we would not be soon forgetful over the message here today, and ask of you, Lord, to please move in our lives and help us to remember the words that you have given us through your precious book. Help us exercise to put off the old man, to put on the new, but to put forth gratitude, Lord, in all that we do and all that we say. We'll give you all the glory, and we give you all the praise and all the honor. And Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And hope and pray God was good to you in the teaching.